Anna Jarvis was never a mother. But her mother used to say that there should be a special day to honor all mothers. So when Anna's mother passed away in 1905, Anna resolved to fulfill her mother's dream. And she led a campaign calling for an official government declaration. Next slide, please. And less than 10 years later, on May 8, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed onto a congressional joint resolution. Now, it's probably been a while since we've heard those three words together, but there used to be a time when people in that setting actually worked together. But May 8, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed onto a congressional joint resolution designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. In a very short time, some residents of northern Mexico began to follow the example of their neighbors across the border. And just under 10 years after the beginning of Mother's Day in the United States, Rafael Alducin, editor of the Mexico City newspaper El Excelsior, wrote and published an editorial affirming motherhood. And he organized the first celebration of Mother's Day in Mexico on May 10, 1922. Other print media, the Catholic Church, added their support. And the celebration of Mother's Day every May 10th continues to this day in Mexico, El Salvador, and Guatemala, and in places around the world among people with heritage from those countries. Even if you're not a mother, Mother's Day is a special time. Perhaps you celebrate your mother or someone our Lord has used in your life to mother you. Perhaps you celebrate being part of the lives of children you care about and help care for. And of course, you know, mothers are important in the Bible. And there are several mothers who receive special attention in the Bible. One of them I didn't hear enough about in church growing up is Mary, the mother of Lord Jesus. Maybe churches I attended felt they should ignore Mary to counter the emphasis on her in some churches that can distract from the worship of our Lord. Whatever the reason, though, we're mistaken to overlook Mary. She was a remarkable woman, an amazing mother, and an example for all of us in her devotion to God. We have much to learn from Mary, and I'm going to talk about some of that in this message today. It's a message relevant to all the mothers who are here, but it's relevant to all the rest of us as well, every one of us. Relevant for our own personal journeys of faith and relevant to our relationships with the children for whom we care and whose lives we seek to influence. Now, I don't know why you decided to be here today. I'm glad you did. Maybe it was for you a last-minute, spur-of-the-moment decision. Maybe you've been planning this for a while because someone asked you to be here for Mother's Day. Maybe it's your habit. Whatever the reason, though, I want to tell you that I don't believe it's a coincidence or random accident. God is present with us this morning by His Spirit, and He knew you would be here too. And He has a specific purpose for being here with us. He intends to touch your life, to speak to you, and to challenge you to take some step in your journey of faith. Now, maybe He has already begun to speak to you through prayer or the scripture reading or in the praise that we've shared together. The Spirit of God speaks to us in a variety of ways. Sometimes He speaks to us by stirring our emotions. Sometimes he speaks by deepening our experience of him or by bringing new insight or understanding about who he is, how he works, and what he expects of us. Sometimes he speaks by making us aware of actions we need to take. Regardless of how he speaks, it's absolutely essential that we pay attention when he does. Because every time God speaks, he expects response. In fact, even trying to ignore what he's saying to us is a response. Not the one I recommend, however. So please join me now as I lead us in prayer to prepare for and respond to what our Lord wants to do with us today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, eternal God of truth, we ask that you open our hearts and minds as you lead us in truth, with truth, to truth, that we may worship you in spirit and truth, in both word and deed. For we earnestly and humbly seek to be the illuminators and instruments of truth that you call and empower us to be as individuals and as a church. Amen. So Mary, the mother of Lord Jesus, an extraordinary woman, a woman of great loyalty, great endurance, great dedication, great love, and great faith. There is so much that we can learn from her example, her journey of faith. And today I'm going to share with you about a foundational truth that we can learn from the example of this great woman of God. To get started, please look with me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Beginning in verse 26, we learn that the angel of God, Gabriel, visited a young woman named Mary in Nazareth, a small village in a province called Galilee. And though the Bible doesn't tell us exactly, historical context leads us to believe that Mary likely was about 14 years old when this occurred, maybe 15. In keeping with the custom of her people at the time, she was legally pledged to be married to a man named Joseph who would have been much older. They were not yet married and had not yet been physically intimate. Imagine her shock then when Mary learned from the angel that she was going to give birth to a son. She was unexperienced, but not uninformed. In fact, we don't have to wonder. We don't have to imagine Mary's surprised astonishment. Her reaction is recorded in Luke 1:34, which reads, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, seeing I know not a man?" In a moment, we'll consider the angel's answer, but for now, please look at Mary's decisive response to this call from God. It's recorded in verse 38, where we find these words. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And there it is. What we need to learn from Mary's example today. I am the servant of the Lord. I submit to his call. A servant is subject to the authority of another. Mary is expressing her faith in unconditional submission to her Lord. A servant does not give instructions. A servant obeys their master's expectations. A servant does not negotiate or argue against an assignment. A servant answers their master's call and does their master's bidding. A servant does not resist risk. A servant embraces their master's challenge. When Mary asked, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" she wasn't resisting the call of God. She was seeking clarity about all that she was being called to. And it was to that clear call that she responded, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. let it be to me according to your word, period. No restrictions, no limitations, no conditions. To all that you require, I submit. Whatever you command, I will do. This is true, genuine faith, unconditional submission. If it is not unconditional, it is not submission. If it is not submission, it is not faith. For genuine faith is far, far, far more than mere mental agreement or acceptance that something is true. Genuine faith is unreserved trust in the Lord, expressed in unconditional submission. This is a foundational truth revealed in many ways in Scripture, including through the example of Mary, the mother of Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of God reveals to us in Mary's demonstration of unconditional submission three facts of faith that we must apprehend and apply. And first, confidence in God's favor when we respond from genuine faith does not depend on public approval. From faith, God's favor is affirmed in His promise. Confidence in God's favor is not dependent on public approval. God's favor is affirmed in His promise. Many of us are convinced that God always and only demonstrates His favor toward us by blessing us in externally obvious ways, apparent to and acknowledged by people around us. We're convinced that God's favor means that we are not plagued by problems or health concerns, have plenty of money, and are comfortable, so that everyone else sees our good fortune and knows that God is blessing us. This is a myth, a ridiculously foolish expectation born of a lie. The truth is that confidence in God's favor for the person responding in faith is not dependent on public approval. From faith, God's favor is affirmed in the promise. Let's see how this fact of faith is confirmed in Mary's experience. Look with me, please, beginning at verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. Notice how the angel addresses Mary. And notice the angel's description of God's blessing to Mary. Luke 1, beginning with verse 26. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Are you getting this? One day when this teenage girl, Mary, was going about her normal routine, she receives a surprise visit from an angel sent by God who basically tells her, "This is your lucky day. God Himself has taken notice of you and chosen you for special attention." If we didn't already know the story, we'd probably expect that the angel is about to announce to Mary that Joseph is her elegant Prince Charming, who is about to discover a hidden treasure, and that will sweep her off her feet and take her away to live happily ever after as a rich, spoiled princess. Oh, wait, that's Disney. This is real life, not fantasy. This is historical fact. Well, of course, we don't have to speculate. Look with me at verse 30 to see how God intends to demonstrate His magnificent favor for Mary. Luke 1, 30 and 31. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, this is the second time in about 30 seconds that the angel has said that she has God's special favor. This is about to be so good. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Wait, what? I'm going to do what? Can you imagine this moment for Mary? Talk about an unplanned pregnancy. Well, at least unplanned for Mary. Actually, this is a pregnancy that had been planned since before the foundation of the world. Still, you're aware of the immense scandal at that time and place with that culture. An unmarried, supposed virgin expecting a baby. At minimum, Mary could have expected to be completely shunned by polite society, her friends, and her faith community, as well as forsaken by her horrified fiancé. Possibly even abandoned by her own family and left without shelter and any means of support and potentially stoned to death. Some of us, if we had received this announcement, might have reacted by suggesting God find somebody else so that we could go back to being just one of his faceless followers rather than one favored for his special attention. Mary's response? Well, she wants to be sure of what the angel's saying, so she asks that question for clarification, recorded in verse 34, how will this be since I have not been with a man? And of course, the angel gave her the clarity she requested. Verse 35 records, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And as we've seen already, Mary responded, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Unconditional submission. Just in case you're not convinced that she welcomed this expression of God's favor, look beginning in verse 41 at what happened when she went to see her relative Elizabeth soon after the angel's visit. Luke 1, beginning with verse 41, records, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, verse 42, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And verse 45, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Now, if this were a musical, at this moment, they would cue the instruments and Mary would break into a song. Well, guess what? She did. She broke into a song. You see it there in verses 46 to 55. Here's one version of the opening lines that can tell us what it was like.
My soul, my soul.
Incredible. For Mary to respond like this to the personal challenge and public treatment she was and would be experiencing. Well, you see, Mary knew that what other people thought had absolutely nothing to do with how faith measures or confirms the favor of God and his blessing. Whether people shun you or admire you is entirely irrelevant in determining whether or not God favors you. Confidence in God's favor is not dependent on public approval. God's favor is affirmed in his promise. Relying on this fact of faith, Mary responded to the Lord with unconditional submission. Confidence in God's favor is not dependent on public approval. When we respond in faith, God's favor is affirmed in his promise. This is a fact of faith we need to learn from the example of Mary, the mother of Lord Jesus, and one we need to teach the children for whom we care and whose lives we seek to influence. The second fact of faith I want to point out to you from Mary's example is that confidence in God's protection is not dependent on safe settings or secure situations. God's protection is assured by his faithfulness when we're responding to him in faith. Confidence in God's protection doesn't depend on whether the setting is safe or our situation is secure. When we respond to God in genuine faith, his protection is assured by his faithfulness. To see how Mary experienced this, please look with me in the Gospel of Apostle Matthew, chapter 2. Remember that before she gave birth, a very pregnant Mary and Joseph traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, about 90 miles, by the way, they would have taken. To say that this was a difficult journey would be one of the great understatements of all time. Nevertheless, they arrived safely in Bethlehem, where Mary gave birth to a beautiful, healthy baby boy. Then one day, when Jesus was still small, Mary and Joseph, by this time back in Nazareth, were surprised by the arrival of astronomers from the east with expensive gifts for the child. Perhaps things were looking up. But very soon after the visitors left, the young family was running for their lives. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we find these words. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." What's up with this? First, God demonstrates his favor by positioning Mary and Joseph and their baby for scandal. Now he allows the life of his own little son to be threatened. I mean, we would likely expect the hero to appear right about now and kill the horrible dragon. But wait, that's Disney. This is real life, not fairy tale. It's historical fact. So what did Mary and Joseph do when they received God's instructions from the angel? They obeyed immediately. Unconditional submission. They responded with the true faith of unconditional submission because they apprehended and applied the fact of faith that confidence in God's protection is not dependent on safe settings or secure situations. When we're responding in faith, God's protection is assured by his faithfulness. Many of us are convinced that God is protecting us only when we are not being threatened with harm or in danger for our lives. But that is a ridiculously foolish myth, born of a lie. Just because you're at risk, it doesn't mean God isn't taking care of you. Confidence in God's protection is not dependent on safe settings or secure situations for people who are responding with true faith. God's protection is assured to them by his faithfulness. Relying on this fact of faith, Mary responded to the Lord with unconditional submission. This is a fact of faith we need to learn from the example of Mary, and one we need to teach the children for whom we care and whose lives we seek to influence. And there's one more fact of faith I want to share with you today. The third fact of faith revealed in Mary's example is that confidence in God's presence is not dependent on happy circumstances or comfortable conditions. God's presence is accomplished with his Spirit. When we're responding to God in true faith, then our confidence in his presence doesn't depend on happy circumstances or require comfortable conditions. God's presence is accomplished with his Spirit. To see this in Mary's life, please look with me in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Apostle John. Remember that her life was not an easy one. It is true that Mary saw great miracles, but she knew great trouble as well. God had touched her through the birth and life and ministry of his Son, and she had been transformed. But there had been problems, some danger, and even confusion along the way. Then it seemed that everything had changed. Her son came to be a celebrity. The people even made him the grand marshal of a celebration parade through the streets of Jerusalem. Then just 5 days later, they turned against him. And Lord Jesus was arrested, beaten, and crucified. A shameful, painful death. And where did Mary, the mother of our Lord, go? She went there with him. It's not like she didn't know what was coming. More than 30 years before, when the baby Jesus was about 6 weeks old, he, being the firstborn son, was dedicated at the temple in Jerusalem. And a devout elder named Simeon met the family there that day. And the Bible says that Simeon praised God when he saw the baby, and that he blessed Joseph and Mary, and that he told them the child had been especially appointed by God and would face serious opposition. And he told Mary, "A sword will pierce through your own soul." She knew from the start. And how did she respond? Unconditional submission. So we find in the description of the crucifixion scene, recorded in John 19:25, that by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. How could it have come to this? The Son of God, creator of heaven and earth, master of the universe, savagely tortured and hanging by nails to a wooden cross. About this time, we would expect the host of heaven to descend in blinding glory to rescue the Son of God and destroy his enemies. But wait, that's Disney. And this is real life, not fable. It's historical fact. We are convinced that if something happens that makes us uncomfortable or unhappy or in pain, then God must have left us. But that's a ridiculously foolish myth born of a lie. Difficulty, discomfort, discouragement, distress are not evidence that God has abandoned you. When we respond to God in true faith, confidence in his presence is not dependent on happy circumstances or comfortable conditions. God's presence is accomplished with his Spirit. Relying on this fact of faith, Mary responded to the Lord with unconditional submission. Confidence in God's presence is not dependent on happy circumstances or comfortable conditions. God's presence is accomplished with his Spirit. This is a fact of faith we need to learn from the example of Mary, the mother of Lord Jesus, and one we need to teach the children for whom we care and whose lives we seek to influence. The last reference we have to Mary in Scripture is Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts opens with the close of Lord Jesus' earthly ministry, ending with his ascension into the clouds. And the Bible says those who were gathered there then returned to Jerusalem. And verse 13 of Acts chapter 1 lists by name the 11 disciples and says in verse 14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his siblings, still responding to the Lord's call with the faith of unconditional submission. I don't know all that God will call you to in your life. I do know, however, that the first act of submission to which he calls us is to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. The Bible records in John chapter 6 that Lord Jesus said in response to a question about what people need to do to honor and obey God, this is the work of God, that you trust in him whom God has sent. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and trusts in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Trusting Lord Jesus, whom God has sent, means admitting that living your life for yourself on your own terms, for your own goals, is a rejection of God, an arrogance of which every one of us is guilty, and repenting of this foundational sin that separates us from God. Trusting Lord Jesus, whom God has sent, means accepting Jesus as your Savior, your substitute, who suffered in your place on the cross, the separation from the Father that is the penalty of your sin. And trusting Lord Jesus, whom God has sent, means acknowledging Jesus as Lord of your life, whom you pledge to trust with unconditional submission. If you have never explicitly trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I call on you in his name to do that right now. Right here and now. Respond to him in faith. There's no specific script or special incantation required. In your own words, in the quietness of your heart, right now, admit to him your attempt to be Lord of your own life. Accept him as your substitute for forgiveness and acknowledge him as Lord of your life right now. And while you do that, I want to say a closing word to others who are here who have trusted Lord Jesus. If that's true for you, then I want to ask whether you've made that commitment public by obeying him in believer's baptism. If not, please talk with me so I can share with you about this crucial step of faith. And if you have publicly testified of your faith with baptism, are you trusting him daily as a servant of faith in unconditional submission, walking with him daily, actively engaging in ministry through his church, and sharing your testimony of faith with thirsty souls? Trusting Lord Jesus means unconditional submission to him as his servant of faith, for whom confidence in his favor doesn't depend on public approval, but rather knowing that his favor is affirmed in his promise. Trusting Lord Jesus means unconditional submission to him as a servant of faith, for whom confidence in God's protection is not dependent on safe settings or secure situations. God's protection is assured by his faithfulness. Trusting Lord Jesus means unconditional submission to him as his servant of faith, for whom confidence in God's presence is not dependent on happy circumstances or comfortable conditions. God's presence is accomplished with His Spirit. Faith expressed in unconditional submission is how we apply the foundational truth that we see demonstrated in the life of Mary, the mother of Lord Jesus, whose example we do well to follow. And it is a truth we need to teach the children for whom we care and whose lives we seek to influence, whether a mother's or father's, grandmother's or grandfather's, aunts or uncles, cousins, family members, or friends and neighbors. May it be so in and through your life. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful that in your wisdom, you chose a young woman of faith for a journey that she could not have predicted, but for which you had already prepared her. We're grateful that you have preserved her example for us, and by your Spirit that you reveal truth through her life to us even today. Thank you for this example of what it means to trust you fully with unconditional submission. Thank you for this example that you have used today to make sure we know that what it means actually to trust you is to not depend on what other people think, not to depend on what might be happening to us or happening around us, but rather to trust you, your faithfulness, your promise, and the presence of your Spirit with us. We pray, Father, that you would show us how in coming days to apply these truths in our walk with you and to share them with other people who are dying of thirst without them. We give ourselves to you for that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.